It's the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm, episode number 111. I am Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers, and welcome back to the podcast. This week, it's a true pleasure to welcome back to our podcast Gophers senior forward Parker Fox from Matamidi. He was a guest last year on one of my favorite podcasts we've ever done. He returns this week, just a few days after taking part in Senior Day. We'll talk about that, as well as going into detail about this year's Golden Gophers, what their goals are the rest of the way, and what's been working to get them to where they are now. Parker Fox, as good as it gets, he'll be my guest on episode 111. Our Go Gopher podcast is presented by alumni-owned Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're a business founder planning to exit your business, start by contacting Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. Sunbelt serves more businesses up to $5 million in revenue than anyone, and True North M&A serves companies with revenues up to $150 million. You can get a confidential, no-cost, no-obligation business valuation started today. Make the most of your life's work. Here's what you do. Visit SunbeltMinnesota.com or TNMA.com today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union is also one of our big sponsors here of the Go Gopher Podcast. Life math is complicated, and Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union makes it easier with local financial experts available to help in person or virtually. Learn more at affinityplus.org/gogophers. Affinity Plus also sponsors our player profile segment, supporting student athletes like Parker Fox, who will get a Visa gift card from Affinity Plus for his appearance on this week's episode. Thank you to Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union for supporting Golden Gopher student athletes. We're podcasting episode 111 from the Aquarius Home Services studio. We invite you to subscribe to the Go Gopher Podcast. It's free to do so, and you can always go back and listen to previous Go Gopher Podcast. Last week, for example, we talked Gopher women's basketball with the voice of the Gophers, Justin Guard, and also asked the voice of the Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball team, Rob Brooks, a longtime friend, what it's been like calling every single one of Caitlin Clark's games. And with the Big Ten tourney in Minneapolis this week, you should go back and listen and get primed for this sold-out event at the Target Center. This week's episode, we're talking Gopher men's basketball with the great Parker Fox. He joins me next.
I'm Clay Geary, walk-on turn scholarship wide receiver for Gopher football.
And I'm Ben Utek, U of M alumni, Super Bowl champion, and Tony Dungy Uncommon Award winner.
We understand championship culture, which is why we're part of the True North family of companies.
True North invests in only elite teams, like the champion team at Sunbelt Business Advisors, Minnesota's largest seller of companies. To learn more about True North and our diverse family of independently owned companies, visit TrueNorthEquityPartners.com.
Episode 111, Golden Gopher senior forward Parker Fox is a return guest. It was a little over a year ago you were on our Go Gopher podcast, and at that time we were talking about injury recovery.
Yeah.
And now, all these months later, we're talking about a season that you have really enjoyed, I think.
Yeah, no, certainly. I think it seems like just kind of yesterday I was, you know, doing the episode with you, and, you know, we were talking about the year ahead, and I'm excited to kind of recap that year.
Yeah, it was episode, I looked it up, it was episode 55. We're at 111 now, wow. So like almost a half,
there you go.
Right, about the halfway point to where we're at this point. It was the last week of January, so I guess 13 months ago. I want to ask you about all that you've been through, but immediately I want to ask you about Senior Day. It was a little quirk in the Gopher schedule. I've never seen this before, where Senior Day wasn't the last day. As we talk, it's Tuesday afternoon. You guys will be hosting Indiana tomorrow night in the final home game of the season. That normally is a traditional senior night. You guys did it on the weekend. I think that helped more families and parents get to it. It's not an 8 o'clock Wednesday night game. So I thought that was kind of cool because now you kind of have a double. You got your last home game now and you had your senior day on Saturday. So how was senior day?
Well, you know, ironically, you know, that kind of, I didn't really even know a senior day until like the day before. So I texted my mom and dad and I was like, hey, tomorrow's senior day, by the way. And they're like, my mom's like, what? Did you find something to wear? Did this and that? Like, where do we go?
She looked great.
appreciate it. So, no, it was funny because I really didn't even like, you know, I wasn't even prepared. But I think, you know, with the Wednesday game being 8 o'clock and being a weekday, it's like, you know, why not make it a weekend? I think people were appreciative too because we got to do some things after and, just kind of hang out as a group. So that was fun. But as a whole, I think it was, I mean, I don't think you could have scripted a better senior day. If you take out the first half, that's for sure. But I think just, you know, the way we came back in the second half is just kind of a testament to who we are as a team and, you know, what we want to do, the kind of edge we want to play with. And that was us. And then, you know, personally for myself, you know, I thought it was pretty cool that, you know, coach took a timeout and subbed me out and I was able to, you know, get some love for my guys and kind of hear, you know, Williams Arena. Yeah. I think it was the biggest crowd of the year too. I think there's about 12,000 in there. So just kind of hear them give me that energy. I think, you know, if you know how I play, I'm trying to give the energy to the crowd and it's cool to have them, you know, give that back to me. And it was a pretty special moment. And then, you know, obviously you get to speak and there's so many people I wanted to thank and so many people that I wanted to, you know, name drop, but I'm an emotional guy and, you know, those emotions got the best of me, but just was super excited and super grateful to have my teammates and my family up there and get to share that moment with them.
Yeah. And you mentioned you got a little emotional there, but with the journey you've been through, I think totally understandable because you had a lot of people that helped support you through what were two pretty tough years, right, in terms of basketball.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many people, like, I wanted to name drop, whether it was, you know, trainers or strength and conditioning or just, you know, support staff or coaches, anybody that was, you know, stuck by my side. There's just too many names, you know, but at the end of the day, I was super grateful that everybody got to be there and my parents were there and some members of our community were at the game as well and just kind of soaking in that moment and enjoying it was special for me.
And then for you personally, have such a major impact on the outcome and the rally. I mean, that had to be satisfying also.
Yeah, you know, I think anytime you're able to play well, it you know, it kind of adds that cherry on top of a senior day, you know, and getting the start and that kind of stuff was pretty cool. If you would have told me I could start for the Golden Gophers a couple of years ago, I would have said, you know, give me that. But just, you know, playing a good game, just trying to bring energy, doing what I do. And fortunately, it worked out that game. So.
Yeah, senior day too. It hasn't been as much lately with teams in terms of it. Used to be if you were a senior, you'd get the start and you'd play a minute or two. If you weren't a contributor, you, of course, it isn't that big of a deal in the sense that you have played a lot of minutes anyway. But I was surprised, I guess, a little bit that you mentioned in your post game interview with the media that before you allowed Coach Johnson to go through with it, you wanted to check with Pharrell first. Talk me through that conversation.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, maybe it wasn't even a conversation I needed to have because Pharrell's gonna, you know, be okay with it regardless probably, but I think it was just for me just to show Pharrell that, hey, we need you here today, we need you every game, and that this, whatever this is, if it's something that you're not all right with, then it's not a big enough thing for me to, you know, have to have this start. It doesn't matter to me enough for you not to be able to show up and be yourself. So just wanted to make sure that he was aware that you know, I was showing him love and that I was showing him that, hey, we need you, man, because you're an integral part of this team and what we do, and whether it's starting or coming off the bench, we need you big time. So I just kind of want to make him aware of that. And I think he, you know, knowing Pharrell, he handled it great and was able to, you know, kind of ensure that in me, like, hey man, go at it. This is your day. So
yeah. And he had a good game too.
He did. He did. And he does all the time. So, and he's a guy that we need. So no doubt.
He's definitely a good player. No question. What was it like to hear your name in the starting lineup?
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty cool. I think, you know, you don't really think about that as a player. You think, you know, how can I go out there and contribute and all that kind of stuff. But then when you think back on the game, you're like, hey, I just started for the Golden Gophers, you know, a Power 5 game against in front of 12,000 people. It's like, that's not a lot of people get to, you know, experience that. And I think, you know, I kind of maybe didn't understand as much in the moment, but thinking back, it's like, that's something I'll never be able to take away from myself. So I'm very grateful.
Yeah. So you guys get down 23 in that game. And I'll be honest, it was pretty flat, right? At the start of that game for whatever reason. And you're down 23, cut it to 17, then they bang two threes to go back up 23. And I'm like, oh man, this might not be the senior day we're looking for here. And then I thought you had the pogo stick block shot where you spiked it like a volleyball player. Then it bounced up and you were able not only to spike it into the deck, but then you were able to, you looked around surprised that no one else was there. You grabbed it, that funneled it. And then I thought your teammate Mike Mitchell was deflecting it seemingly for like six or eight possessions in a row, deflecting. blocking and stealing. And all of a sudden, you got a little momentum. You went from 23 down, finished on a 12-1 run. Mm-hmm. Still down 12 at half, but that's doable now, yeah. right? 12 is doable. So what was the thinking? One, how cool was that? With the, I was joking today. We did the Ben Johnson show, and I was trying to describe it, and Gerdsey was making fun of me. And I'm like, you jumped up, and there was like a levitation there. Like, you stayed. You, like, were waiting for him to shoot. You're just hanging out for a minute, you know, while you're moving toward him, and then you blocked it. And I know you get a kick out of that. And you've had some timely blocks, not just like good looking blocks, but in important pieces of the game. And I thought that block maybe switched the whole tenor of the game.
Well, yeah, I didn't even realize how I kind of elevated until Jackson Purcell after the game. He was like, just showing me the video. He's like, dude, you literally like fly, like we're flying. Yeah. Like you were, and he didn't like, you didn't go down. You just stayed in the air. And I was like, yeah, it kind of was crazy. but no, I think, yeah, that was a big time block. But I think in the media timeout, I said to the guys, I said, if we can get it to 12 at halftime, that's where we want to be. We didn't have a kill, so we call a kill when you get three stops in a row. We didn't have a kill going into that time, that last media timeout, which is the four and under media timeout. So we talked about if we can get a kill, and then if we can get it to 12 before the halftime, we, you know, we'll like where we're at. So I think we just had that kind of demeanor coming out of that timeout, and then obviously a 12-1 run. I didn't know it was exactly that, but obviously it was to go down 12. So yeah, just kind of flipping the switch, flipping our mindset, and I think we were able to hit a couple shots, get a couple steals. Mike was in passing lanes. I got a couple blocks. We just kind of we ramped it up a little bit, and we needed to go into the halftime, because going to the half down 20 is a lot more daunting than going to the half out down 12. So, and then we got in the halftime, and you know, I was the last one to the locker room, and I told the guys, I said, we're going to win this game. You know, like I truly believed it, and everybody in the locker room believed it. And a coach came in and was like, you know, this has got to be something where you're fighting for a win, but you're also fighting for, you know, the seniors and making their senior night special. And then we were able to go and do that in the second half.
Yeah. And they were hitting everything.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
And tip your cap to them. They're not a great shooting team. They're not terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they have guys that can hit it, but they were, you know, I mean, at some point you had to just be thinking, what in the world, right?
No doubt. I don't play the four a lot, but when I do, I have to take the ball out of bounds. And I swear every time I was taking the ball out of bounds, it was just a three after three after three. And I was like, there's no way they can sustain this. Like, this is crazy. So, you know, it's deflating too, because you know you got the biggest crowd you've had, and the energy was great pregame, and you know you want to come out and put on a show for the people, but nobody left, which was good. You know, I think maybe because it was at 2 o'clock that helps too, but nobody left. People stuck around, and then they were able to see us, you know, flip the switch a little bit and come into form in the second half.
Yeah, and I thought it was you know, a good team effort. You look at the box score, and there was a lot of guys that did a lot of stuff, and you know, Dawson was doing his thing, and I thought Cam, you know, he hit the go-ahead shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys had an early lead, like 2-0 or whatever it was, and then didn't lead again until whatever, 57, 56, or 58, whatever it was in there. Cam drove in, got it. You had a one-point lead, and a possession or two later, he hits the three. I mean, that's an NBA-looking shot. I mean, that guys in the NBA take that shot. Guys in college don't always take that shot.
No,
now you're up four. Yeah. I mean, what a player.
I mean, he's an NBA-looking player. You know, I think I tell him it all the time. I knew from the moment he stepped on campus when I saw him work out for the first time. And it wasn't even the, you know, the making of the shots. It's just how he approached, you know, his workout. And he knew it. Obviously, you know, his brother's playing for the Lakers. And, you know, he's got good trainers and that kind of stuff. But, like, the way he approached his workout, it was no nonsense. It was get in, you know, get my work in, get my game-like shots in. And the reason why he hits those is because he does them in practice and he does them when he works out all the time. So it's no surprise, you know, when the lights get a little brighter, I think he even starts to make them a little bit more. So he's a heck of a player. You know, I'm hoping to see him in a Gopher uniform for another year, but you know, I wouldn't blame him if that NBA money starts calling. So we'll see what he does, but I know eventually he's gonna play in that league one day. That's for sure.
Yeah, let's hope that one more. I think he'd do well to be one more year at least here in the
Twin Cities.
We'd
like to see that,
in maroon and gold. I remember early in the season, I think he was recovering. He was on the podcast a couple weeks ago. He was recovering from mono, and that was tough because he was, you know, away from home for the first time and feeling not very good and couldn't be around people for a minute, you know, all that stuff. So, yet he was, you know, he stuck to it. And then once he got going, I remember talking to Dawson at some point, and this was prior to the Missouri game. And he's like, this guy's hitting, you know, he's winning scrimmages, you know, and you guys play these situations and he's the guy hitting. And so I remember when Ben called his number late in that Missouri game and he missed both shots. Mm-hmm. And there were some people like, oh man, what are we going to a freshman for here? And then Ben said, you know, hey, look, he's been hitting these shots. Dawson had told me that before that, so I even mentioned it on the air. Like, look, there's a reason this is. And now we're all looking back saying, well, of course you're going to try to get Cam one of those shots, right? He just, on that particular night, didn't happen to get it to go.
No, you're exactly right. And I think Cam kind of established himself as that big-time shot-making guy early, whether it was, you know, practice situations or whether it was kind of open runs or whatever it may be. He was a guy that always wanted the ball in his hands. And I think as a coach, you'd be dumb to go to a guy that doesn't want the ball in his hands, and Cam's a guy that does, so it's smart to go to him. But you know, sometimes they fall, and that's the name of the game. So, but you gotta continue to, I think, which is, you know, awesome of Ben, is he continues to, you know, instill his trust in guys, and Cam has kind of, you know, made that kind of deposited that check a little bit. So
and the moment, he's not scared of the moment. The moment's not too big. He fits in.
Certainly.
As a freshman. He's freshman of the week this week as we record in the Big Ten for his two games last week. Thinking back to that Missouri game, that too seems like it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But think about how you guys as a group have morphed and transitioned and turned into just a different looking team. I mean, you were up 21 that night. I mean, kind of the reverse of what happened this past Saturday. Yeah. So we saw, like in that night, we saw glimpses of what Cam could be, glimpses of what Hawkins could be. And then Dawson got hurt, and then other guys had a chance, I thought, in that stretch, including yourself. Okay, I'm going to get some more minutes and create a little identity. Dawson comes back. You guys figure it all out in terms of how it goes, and playing pretty good ball. I mean, I think outside of the Nebraska game, this is like 10 or 11 straight games where, one, you could have won any of them.
Yeah.
And the good news is you won most of them.
Yeah, no, that's ironic because we were talking about that today in the film room, just kind of as a team before Coach came in. We were looking at our schedule and we're like, you take away that Nebraska game over the last month, there wasn't a game where we didn't feel like we could win, you know,
right.
You know, obviously the ball is going to bounce different waves and it's hard to win on the road. And, you know, you go into places that, you know, it's just difficult to go in there and get a win. I think Pinnacle Bank Arena is one of those places where it's, you know, they've won however many straight there. It's a tough place to get a win, but you know, I think just with the way we're playing and kind of how we've shifted and shaped over the year, it's you know, we've done a lot of different things, whether it's, you know, playing different guys or, you know, different lineups or different guys together. But I think, you know, over this last stretch, probably 12 games, you know, we've kind of found our identity of what we want to do defensively, how we want to run our offense, and the kind of guys we want to have in the game at certain times. And I think with the way we've done that, I truly feel that there's, you know, a lot of teams that we can't beat, you know, even going to Purdue and playing them tight.
Yep.
And not a lot of people go in there and play very well. And we were leading for a lot of that game. You know, obviously, you know, they're a monster with, you know, with the guys they got and they pulled away at the end. But we truly feel that, you know, with what we got, we can beat anybody. And we have to keep that kind of mindset, because I think if you watch us, you can kind of see that and believe it.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm going to ask about that mindset as it moves forward, because you've got games in between now and then. But I want to ask you down the road here about the Target Center and having that tournament here in the home city. But we talked with Ben today on the coaches show, and he talked about the energy that you provide off the bench and how, you know, it has given him more liberty to play you more minutes, because you're just given so much and doing so many things that impact the game. He also, Guardsy asked him, and he mentioned about what it takes for you to get ready. And he's like, sometimes, and Coach, you know how he can be. He's like, sometimes it's painful just to watch him try to get ready for the game. So I don't know what that entails, because you're probably downstairs in the training room. So what does it take for Parker Fox now, you know, double knee injury, 2 years removed from that, to get ready for a Big Ten basketball game?
You know, I was just telling Coach Thorson at practice today, I was like, when I was a freshman, I was just dunking everything in practice and warm-ups. And then the older guys would be like, oh, just wait till you're our age and wait till your knees hurt and you won't want to dunk anymore. And,
you're 22, right?
Now I'm in that position a little bit. But no, I think, you know, I think I'm a kind of guy that feeds off of, you know, the crowd and the energy. And that's why I love to play at the Barn. That's why I love to play at home. Obviously, I love to play in general, but it's even more special when I get to, you know, play at home in front of my friends and family. And, you know, pregame for me is a little long. It's a little grueling, but definitely just getting in there, getting my body warm, you know, hop in the hot tub for a little bit and kind of get my body loose. We got, you know, the ultrasound machines on my knees and taping the ankles. And then just a lot of soft soft tissue stuff, you know, especially with the knees, kind of, you know, the cartilage in my knees is not as what it used to be. So just kind of getting them warmed up and loose. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I think when I get to run up there for the, you know, the last time we run up the tunnel, it's like you feel that energy kind of bouncing back. And, you know, it kind of stinks sometimes to go sit on the bench and get a little stiff. But like, you know, I'm just fired up and ready to go anyways. So that energy fires me up. And then, you know, maybe a couple other different painkillers that they give me. But we won't comment on those right here. So
just to make sure that there's a little bit of numbness in
give myself that edge, right? Yeah. No doubt.
Is and then when the game's over, are you sore?
Oh yeah.
Mostly?
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly the knees, but I think it's a little bit of everything. You don't play for 2 years. You know, your hips aren't moving, you know, the same way they move. The ankles aren't moving the same way. Your shoulders, you know, not shooting the way it's been the last 2 years. But, sometimes I have a little trouble sleeping at night, but you know, most of the times we're pretty light the next day, which is good for myself. Some of the other younger guys, maybe they, you know, get in and play a little up and down, but I opt out of that the next day, that's for sure. But it's, you know, it comes with the territory. I think, you know, for a guy like me, I know what it's going to be like, so you know, you're kind of signing yourself up for it. But it's been a learning process too with myself, with, you know, just listening to my body and see how I'm feeling and if I can, you know, whatever I can do the next day, whether it's recovery or if I'm able to kind of just be more a detailed day where I got to lock in on the scout and the kind of stuff we're focusing on. But it's been a learning process, that's for sure.
And what's your comfort level now playing compared to maybe in that Missouri game or early in the year when first time you're in a game in a couple years?
Oh, night and day. Night and day. Yeah, I think, you know, you don't, I think, and it's more of just like not playing for, you know, 900 and whatever days it was for myself. And, you know, the last game I played at Northern, I was a Sweet 16 game, and I had, you know, I think it was like 36 points and 16 rebounds, and just had like an awesome game. And you know, you want to get right back to that, but it's like you have to slow yourself down and realize like, hey, this might take a little bit of time. And that's something that me and Ben talked about too, where it was like, hey, you know, we want to watch your minutes, we want to watch how your body's reacting, you know, the day after a game, the week after a game, you know, see how you're feeling, because this wasn't just a little, like, you know, tweak in my knee. Like I had major reconstructive knee surgery in both my knees that where the doctors told me I might not ever be able to, you know, run again or play again. And the fact that I'm, you know, able to do these kind of things, like, hey, let's take a step back and make sure we're, you know, I want to be able to go play with my kids in the yard one day all that kind of stuff. And, but I think our whole staff, whether it's, you know, trainer Ryan Dotson or coach or, you know, Dr. Nelson or whoever it may be, they've done an awesome job just working with me and making sure that I realize that, you know, I want to give everything I have right now, but also I got a longer life to live too. Yeah. So, maintaining that. And like you said, I think, you know, the early kind of games of not playing too much. And then I think I played 30 minutes last game. So it's like, you know, now I'm feeling better and better. And it's like, hey, I want to ramp this. I don't want to come out of games anymore. Yeah. You know, earlier it was like, damn, my knee hurts. My knees hurt. I need to get some ice on these things. But now it's like, dude, keep me in the game. I'm rocking and rolling. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like I'm 19 again. So.
Has the game slowed? Did it feel fast when you first got back?
I don't know about fast, just because I've played so many years of, you know, college basketball already. But I think it was more of just like, you know, just feeling that my body's different. You know, I wasn't able to just go up and touch the top of the backboard and then sprint down and get a dunk and then get a block. And it's like, I have to, you know, get my body kind of acclimated and used to that. But, you know, I think now I'm at a point where, you know, the tournament's right around the corner here where it's like, I'm feeling like myself again, and I'm really feeling, you know, quite good. And I think you're kind of able to see that too out on the court, whether it's, you know, dunks or blocks or diving on loose balls. Like, you know, I think if you watch me now, you would say this guy looks like he's, you know, back in pretty good form. So.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. And it looks to me too, like there's been a couple of times where you've just decided you got the pass, you're on the wing, and you're just going to drive it and say, let's see where it takes it. Yeah. Sometimes it's a dunk and sometimes it's a pass.
Yeah.
One time it might be a charge, you know? but at least you're comfortable to say, we're gonna do this.
Yeah, and that's the mental side of it, you know. And I think that's something that, you know, I talk on my podcast, you know, about as well. But it's like, you know, having that, not being afraid of that kind of failure, and you know, putting it in the hands of the work that you've done. You know, I grinded rehab for 30 months, you know, so it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't preparing myself for these situations. You know, it was everything I was doing was preparing myself to do that. You know, to drive in the lane and make a play and go dunk on somebody or make a pass or whatever it may be. Like, I was preparing myself for so long to do that. So, you know, why not do it? You know,
when you were on episode 55, you talked about how much it meant to you. You came here to play at the barn, like, yeah. Williams Arena was what you wanted to play on that floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you have, for the whole season, has it reached the expectation that you had before you got to play?
Oh, I know, 100 times over.
Is that right?
Yeah, no doubt. I never got to play on Williams before in my life. I never went to state. Never went to the state tournament, which was, you know, first round always held at Williams. I never played at team camp there. I don't know. The only time I was ever on the court was when I was a court kid sweeping the court. So I don't think I ever even had a basketball on the court with me. It's been awesome. I think just in general of the Big Ten, of, you know, going to different places and seeing these arenas and seeing how crazy it is. Like, it's really unlike anything else. You know, I think maybe there's a couple other conferences out there like it, you know, at the power major, you know, high, you know, power five level, but coming from Division II, where, you know, I'm going to basically high school gyms in Crookston, Minnesota, in front of, you know, 30 people versus, you know, going into Mack Arena at Purdue in front of, you know, 16,000 and trying to make a free throw is a different beast. But the barn has been such a special place my whole life, and the fact that I get to go out there, and I'll even look at pictures of myself after the game where it's like, I got Minnesota on my chest. Like, that's such a cool deal.
Pretty
so
sweet.
Yeah,
you how often would you go to games? I mean, now you're a basketball junkie. Mm-hmm. You're a basketball junkie from the time you were
a kid. My dad put a basketball in my crib when I was little. Yeah. We had the little Tykes hoop. He had me in there was no basketball league for pre-K and for kindergartners, but he, you know, created a league and put me in it, and it was basketball. I actually loved hockey growing up too. I never got to play organized hockey, but we always had this saying in our family, it was hockey bad, basketball good. And I had to, like, repeat it back to my dad because he did not while we played hockey.
To be on skates, yeah.
I was like, let me skate, Dad.
Like,
come on.
Yeah, skates,
I'd be like,
right?
Chara out there, yeah. No doubt. But I always loved, you know, being in Minnesota. You grew up kind of, you know, enjoying that hockey culture. And I loved it. My brother loved it. I remember we would get, like, sticks and, like, hockey sets when we were young. But my dad's like, all right, we'll get you this, but you're a basketball player. You're going to be a basketball player. And I'm grateful for it because I fell in love with it. And, you know, whether it was at my high school game, there's, you know, I would be rubbing the guy's back, you know, and they're checking out a game. They're giving him water, and it's just like, this kid's probably annoying, but it's like, I just loved it, and I fell in love with it. And then, you know, fall in love with Gopher Hoops at a young age with guys like Trevor Mbakwe and, you know, Rodney Williams and, you know, Tolleson and all those kind of guys. It's like, you know, you grew up watching them and you just wanted to go to games. And, you know, a lot of times we'd have my own tournaments, so we couldn't, you know, go, but, like, anytime we got a chance to get down to Williams Arena, we did it. And I'm definitely grateful because, you know, you remember those memories sitting in the crowd with your dad or your mom or your brother, and it's like, now you see those kids that are sitting in the, you know, crowd, and it's like, I think I have a different appreciation for it because I remember when I was in their shoes.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you show those kids, like, hey dude, like, you can do this too, anything's possible. And I think that's what makes it so special for me as well.
Man, that's awesome. And then growing up watching the Gophers, as you mentioned, you watch the Gophers then on TV.
Oh yeah.
And they're playing at Mackey, they're playing at the Breslin Center, mm-hmm. they're playing at Michigan, and now you're on those courts this year.
Yeah.
What's that?
No, I think that's even, you know, one of the cooler things too, where it's like, you know, I get to shake Tom Izzo's hand after I just, you know, played at the Breslin Center against him. Like, this is only something that's like, it seems like a fantasy kind of, because it's like, it's only something you got to see on TV, right? It's like, this isn't a real place. They don't get there an hour early and organize all their chants and this and that. And it's like, and then, you know, you go live in it, and, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, when you get out there, it's funny because, like, people ask me, it's like, is it intimidating? And I was like, you know, yeah, if you look at it from a standpoint of, like, hey, this is pretty crazy. Yeah, it's intimidating. But you get it out there on the court, and it's like, you're just playing another game.
Yeah.
You know, you're just playing another basketball game. And I think that's because I've played a lot of games in my career as well. But also it's like, you know, kind of enjoying that and soaking it in and realizing, like, hey, these people want you to lose. But, like, you got a chance to go out there and prove them wrong and to kind of, you know, give them a little, you know, push back. So it's been pretty magical. And I'm excited that the Big Ten tournament's here at the Target Center, because I've never played at the Target Center either. So this will be my first time doing that.
Good opportunity there.
Yeah, no doubt. Actually, I lied. Third grade youth basketball. We did one of those pregame deals. So it's been however many years,
whatever that may be. You're 25 now.
I'm 25. So it's probably been 15 years now. So that's a lot. They probably made some rentals in there at the Target Center.
Yeah. I know you've been there for Wolves games as well.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about that. Let me talk real quickly about our sponsor, Affinity. Plus, they're your local credit union, proudly serving Minnesota since 1930. If you're a current Gopher student or a proud Gopher alum, you're eligible to join this financial that wants to build a meaningful banking relationship and put you first. You can meet with a local employee at any of their branches statewide, including right off campus in Minneapolis. And to learn more or find other ways to connect, go to affinityplus.org/gogophers. That's affinityplus.org/gogophers. They have an award-winning mobile app. You can download that. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. We thank them for their sponsorship. And because they support Gopher student athletes as well, they have given Parker Fox a Visa gift card for his appearance here. So we thank them for that.
Thank you, Affinity Plus.
Yes, indeed. All right. So we talked about Cam Christie and hoping he's back next year. You went through it with Senior Day, and you don't have to answer. You can answer however you want. You do have 1 year, if it's my understanding. Believe it or not, you could be back as a 26-year-old college player. So what in your mind, where are you at now mentally? What do you think?
Well, you know, you can give the cliche. I'm in the moment. No, I'm enjoying the moment. I'm focused on the next game, focused against Indiana. And that's all true. You know, I am. And it's I think it's important for kind of me to be where my feet are. And enjoy that, but also know that you know, there is a kind of next step for me. So it's definitely always in the back of my mind. I don't have an answer yet. I wish I did. I wish there was wish there was a way you could just look over your life and it'd be like, hey, pick this. But that's life, right? You got to make a decision and, you know, live with whatever consequences you decide to live with. And I'm definitely excited for whatever it may be. I know I'm going to be pursuing basketball, whether that's, you know, a professional career. And, you know, I think my whole life I've dreamt of being an NBA player, and I would be selling myself short if I didn't, you know, try to pursue that dream, whether that's next year or the year after. But I know that if I were to decide to come back to college, it would be here at the U, and it would be to be a Gopher, because there's nowhere else I'd rather be. And it's not only to play, but to be in front of my family and friends and my girlfriend being here at the U, being here in Minnesota, and my brother and my family. It's like, it's a special place for me. But I don't have a definite answer yet, and I might not have one for a little while, but I know that I got a tough decision to make, and I know that there's a lot of people that want to see me back and want to see me in the maroon and gold, and I'm super grateful for that, and it truly does mean a lot. But we'll kind of see where my life takes me. I think it's being patient and just trusting that it'll all work out.
Could some of your decision be made on how the rest of this year plays out?
Yeah, certainly. I think, I believe that this team is pretty special. And I think if you look at our roster, everybody that, you know, plays meaningful minutes has a chance to come back next year. And I think it would be pretty special if we were able to, you know, keep something like that. And, obviously nowadays it's a different beast with the transfer portal and NIL and all that kind of stuff. But I think if we were able to, you know, keep our core and, come back for another year, we would be a pretty special team. You know, obviously we're kind of on the fringe of, you know, maybe kind of getting a bid in the tournament. Probably not, unless we, you know, prove kind of ourselves over the next couple of weeks here. But it would definitely be something that would affect how it's finished. And also to tell you the truth, if you were to ask me, you know, 8 months ago, I would say there's no way I'm coming back for an eighth year. My body's shot. You know, I'm tired. I'm sick of school. And now it's like, as this has played out, you know, it's like I'm enjoying it and I'm loving it. And it's like, this is why I do it, because I live it and I love it and I'm having a lot of fun with it. So it's definitely a tough decision, but we'll see what it has in store for myself. I don't want to close any doors. I think it would be dumb for me to close a door and you know, shut it and lock it and not, you know, think of what could be behind it.
Right. And of course, I mean, as you mentioned, with injuries and everything else, if you're going to pursue, there's probably a ticking, there's a limited number of earning years, so to speak, whether it's NBA or whether it's, you know, G League or Europe or wherever it is, there's a, you know, so at some point you have to decide, you know, where that is as well. So I'm sure there's a lot of consideration. But it's so cool to hear how much fun you're having. You mentioned your brother. leading scorer, right? In whatever the Wisconsin League is called. What's that called?
WAC? The WIAC. WIAC. Yeah, WIAC. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
He averaged like 26 a night.
Yeah.
He's entered the portal.
He has. Yeah. Yeah. He's entered the portal right
now. 1 year.
1 year eligibility. Yep. The Division I portal doesn't open up until March 18th. So Division I guys can't go in yet. But he's the Division III guy, so he could go in early. And he's hearing from, you know, a bunch of Division I's and all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of helping him kind of go through that process and deciding, you know, what he wants to do, whether it's, you know, finding a spot where, you know, he could say he was a high major basketball player, or whether it's, you know, picking a spot where they're going to be able to play him a bunch of minutes and he's going to be able to, you know, have a career in this. So the transfer portal is a beast. It's hard to navigate. I hope nobody does it alone. I hope you have somebody that's giving you good advice. But I think we got a pretty good support system around him, and he's going to be able to make a decision that's best for him.
He's 6'6"?
Yeah, 6'6". Yeah.
Kind of a swing guy, wing guy?
Yeah, slashing wing. Yeah, can really jump and kind of has got that Fox athleticism.
Yeah, so, he can jump to it. I remember last year when you were on, you said you would watch him on your laptop or on TV. Is that still how you're trying to catch most of his games?
Yeah, you can stream those games, and I would always stream them. I think I went to a couple of them this year, and we had off nights, and it's just so fun to see how he's grown. And I feel like it was just yesterday we were beating the hell out of each other in the backyard and trying to play one-on-one and all that kind of stuff. And to now see us, you know, with what we've made of our careers is pretty cool.
Yeah, and he had 70, right, in a game?
He did have 70. He had a 70-point game last year, yeah.
What's his high this year, do we know?
Probably around, it's like one of those 40 guys, you know. Not a 70 again, though. That would have been pretty crazy.
And I forget, you were watching that game?
Yeah, it was me, Isaiah, Trayton Thompson, and then Jameson Battle. We were all watching in my room, and I remember we turned it on at halftime, and it was like, Brody Fox has 32. And I was like, 32 and a half. Let's see what he ends with here. And I think he ended up having like 60 with like 2 minutes to go and ended up getting 10 before the final buzzer sounded. And there was like one at the buzzer to get it to 70. And I was like, goodness gracious, that's
crazy.
That's one you'll never forget, right?
Crazy. So were your parents good athletes too?
Yeah, yeah. My mom was a very high-level speed skater, was on the national speed skating team, you know, competed for a chance to go to the Olympics a couple times, fell short, but you know was able to be in those moments. And then my dad grew up loving basketball, football, got me into all the sports, whether it was that kind of stuff or fishing and skiing and, you know, whatever it was, we were always outside and doing that kind of stuff. And then my dad was he did it all. He coached my basketball team, my football team, my soccer team. I remember there would be nights where like the seasons overlapped and it was like basketball practice at 3, football's at 5, and soccer's at 8, and he was the coach for all of them. And he had a script and a practice plan for all of them. And he loved it. He lived it. And I think, you know, for me and my brother too. And I wouldn't change it, and I wouldn't want it either way, because it was, I think, those are the most special moments. And that's what, you know, made our bond so strong. And
you guys will be talking about it forever. With your kids.
Yeah,
you
know? No doubt about it. Hey, and I'll probably do the same for my kids,
exactly.
Right?
No doubt. All right, so you mentioned that you want to play in the NBA someday, so I assume you're watching the Wolves. Are they your team?
Of course, yeah.
What do you think of the Wolves?
Grew up a Wolves guy. I mean, I love the Wolves. I think if you knew kind of my – I'm an NBA guy. I'm not really a college basketball guy, which is weird, like being in it. Like, I really only watch the Big Ten. I have no idea what's going on elsewhere. I'm an NBA guy. We got 5 TVs in our living room, and I'm always – yeah, it's pretty crazy. I'll show you a picture. But I'm always glued to League Pass. So I got the premium where you can put 3 games on, and there's usually a game on ESPN, and then you got one of the Big Ten games on the other TV. Yeah. So it's like I'm always glued to it. The Wolves are my team. And it's been a fun year watching them. And I think we have a legitimate chance. We got a superstar in Anthony Edwards. We got just a talented duo with Kat and Rudy down low. And then guys like Jaden McDaniels and Mike Conley, you know, rounding out that lineup is, you know, it's a special lineup. And I've went through the dog days of the Timberwolves with Rubio's and Lexi Schveds and the Kevin Love days. And, you know, I grew up a big KG fan. So I've kind of, you know, had a little success, a little taste of it with him. But now it's like, it's fun. I think we're first in the West again after OKC lost last night, so it's gonna be a race to the finish here. So hopefully we can stay strong.
I think they could.
And Target Center's been awesome this year. 2 years ago, I went to over 30 Timberwolves games just because it timed out perfectly with their schedule. I've probably only been to 6 or 7 this year, so still a decent amount. But it's been a different energy in there, and I think Minnesota is just craving a championship, and I think it's a good chance that we could maybe see one this year. So,
and so outside of third grade Parker Fox, you've been to a lot of games there, but never played there. I'll transition that discussion into how excited you are. I know you got Indiana tomorrow as we tape, and Northwestern on Saturday. And look, man, you win those two games, there's a chance you could be the 3 seed in this thing.
Crazy.
Which would be a double by a 4 seed.
Yeah.
You know, because there's such that jumble. They're, on the flip side, you could be, I think, as low as a 10 if it doesn't go your way. Mm-hmm. So a lot at stake. So I'm not trying to have everyone look ahead. That said, you grew up in the Twin Cities. You're a Wolves fan. Target Center is hosting this thing. Opportunity here, unlike most Big Ten teams have.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 4 minutes from here.
Yeah.
I
wonder, if they're going to put us up in a hotel, if we're going to sleep in our own bed. So we'll find out. I'm sure they'll get us in a hotel. But
either way, that's got to be, you've got to be looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be special, I think. You know, one of the reasons why I, you know, love being here at Minnesota is because I get to play in front of my mom and my dad and, you know, my grandparents and family and friends every single day. And that'll, you know, turn over into the Big Ten tournament. I think they're already sold it out or something like that as well. So I'll have to be scrapping for my teammates' tickets. But I think it's just a kind of, it kind of shows you, you know, this is, you know, like we said, I have the extra year, but this would be a, you know, pretty cool way to finish it out too, where it's, you know, I'm playing in front of my family and friends and playing at the Target Center, you know, growing up, going to Timberwolves games, going to Lynx games and enjoying my time in the, you know, the Target Center. And like I said, I haven't played there in years, so it'll be fun. Hopefully the ball goes in the hoop. So.
Yeah. And look, this is a chance where, you know, a team can have on a Thursday or Friday, and this doesn't happen. I've been to 17 straight Big Ten tournaments now. And the Thursday and Friday games, sometimes there's a crowd, sometimes there's not.
Yep.
This is a chance. You guys are probably going to play Thursday or Friday, hopefully just Friday. You get the double bye. But either way, it's a chance on those Thursday, Friday. If it's like Williams Arena, you got, you know, 11,000, 12,000 the other night. If those people show up on Thursday or Friday, that's unlike anything we've really seen on a Thursday, Friday in the Big Ten tournament. All of a sudden, you can get to the weekend. Mm-hmm. Then it's anybody's game.
Then it's anybody. You're right. And I think, and we need them too. You know, we want them. We need them. I think it would be, you know, pretty special if people decided to come out and support us. You know, slowly this year, we've just had more and more people at games and, you know, people are buying into what we're doing. Yep. And the most was, you know, at the Penn State game. So I'm hoping, you know, it's that same way for Indiana tomorrow. And then we're able to kind of turn around and people just take that extra drive across the river and come down to downtown Minneapolis at the Target Center and check us out and, you know, cheer loud. And hopefully we're able to kind of give that energy back to them and we can play into the weekend, which would be, I think it would set ourselves up for what we want to do as a program.
Yeah, you get into the weekend and then it's anybody's ball game. You have your own podcast. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Double Down Podcast. I mentioned it earlier. You can check it out on all platforms. Just Double Down Podcast, Apple, Spotify. Started it, you know, when I was going through the injuries, just talking about mental health and kind of the physical, but more the mental side of athletes' recoveries and whether it's an injury, whether it's I had Katie B from the women's team who had the brain deal and whatever it may be. You know, whether it's some sort of adversity or, you know, whatever you go through, it's kind of that mental fight through that net battle. And I've kind of put it on a little halt because of the season, but I'm excited to get it back up and going here this summer. And hopefully have a lot of basketball names, but also a lot of other sports as well. It's been a cool process.
Double down.
All right. Yep. There you
and
go.
You've also created, or the Gopher Sports marketing folks have created a 4-part. It's out.
Yeah.
You talk with other athletes.
Yep. I had the, I had a couple of the hockey guys. I had hockey girls. I had the two of the women's basketball players. So kind of bounced around different programs here at the U and was able to kind of talk to them about their seasons and, you know, them as individuals. And I think that, you know, program is actually still going with a different host now. They wanted to flip it around and make sure everybody's, you know, getting in there and trying out the different skills. But, you know, podcasting and this kind of broadcasting life is new to me, but I've really enjoyed it and I've kind of found a passion for it, which has been really fun.
Yeah, man, it's we'll track it out. And you were on or I don't know if you were the host, you were on with our guy Dragan Kesic, too,
yes,
right? The
yes,
kicker?
Yeah.
He's one of our favorites.
Yeah, he's the best. And, yeah. I see him all the time, and every time we see each other, we have some sort of laugh or, yeah. you know, share some sort of
now,
moment.
He's a Bucks guy.
He is, which is, you know, he was, the Bucks actually practiced our facility a couple weeks ago, and he was standing out the back trying to get a picture with Giannis, and I think Giannis told him no, and he was pretty,
right?
he was pretty mad about that one, so I had to rub it in his face a little yeah. bit, but maybe we'll see those guys in the championship.
I would
Who
take
knows?
That.
Who knows?
You'd take that,
yeah,
right?
I would take that every day of the week,
yeah,
and then we can do some trash talk
Beat
with me and him back and forth, no doubt.
Right. All right, last two quick ones. I've already kept you a little longer, and
no,
I promise,
you're
but you're awesome. So this game Wednesday, last home game of the year, Indiana, like we said, it seems like 2 years ago yeah. the first time. January 12th was when you guys played out there. And at that point, the Gophers were 3-1 in the mm-hmm. Big Ten, and then they jumped you early. I think it was 25-7 or something.
Yeah,
you cut
did.
It to 5, and then they pretty much kept you at arm length. But yeah. the team has changed so much since then. It seems
yeah.
like that's why it seems so long ago, I think.
Yeah, and Ben talked about it today after practice. He said we're a completely different team since then. He said they haven't faced the real Gophers yet, you know, and that's kind of cliche, but it's like, it's true, you know,
yeah.
it's like they haven't faced what we are now. And you get fired up for a team like Indiana, you know, historic program, historic coach and Mike Woodson. They got some high level NBA talent and they got some good players, but they have to come into our building and face us. And that's the way we want to think about it. And we're hoping people come out. I know it's a late one on Wednesday night and might have to stay up till past bedtime, but maybe you can, you know, ride in a little sick in yeah. the morning to work and then come out and support
yes.
us. So we need it.
Get in price is just $22. And those seats are good, by the way. Those are those in zone uppers where you have a great
view. Great view. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, when those seats start getting filled in, it's a different sounding building.
It
you
does.
Know? So let's get those seats. Well, pick out whatever seat you want. But if you want to get in, those are the cheap seats. And they're good seats. They're not cheap seats.
Any seat in Williams Arena,
it
I
really
feel like, is a good seat.
It
I think
really
it's
is.
A special arena to play in.
What about Indiana, what can you remember about them and what will a key be for you guys?
Yeah, they got, I mean, like I said, they have NBA level talent. They got a big guy in Khalil Ware who's, you know, a 7-footer who, you know, dunks everything. They have a 5-star freshman in Mbako who can really shoot it. I think he had his career high last game. They have a good player in Malik Renu at the 4 position, lefty. They got, you know, a deep bench. They do a lot of really good things, but we just want to come out with our edge. You know, that kind of coach always talks about the mindset we had at Illinois, the way we kind of came out and weren't afraid and just were able to play free and just having that edge. We feel like if we have that and we play with an edge and we play confident and we play tough and we, you know, get it inside to Dawson and Pharrell and then spray it out to you know, Elijah, Cam and Mike and, you know, whoever else check into the game, we put ourselves in a good position to win basketball games. So we're definitely just going to have to play the best of our ability, play hard and make sure we have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, key last couple of games here, as we said, there's such that jumble.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of wins, up you go, right?
No doubt. And that's the goal, right? That's what we set out to do. And I think, you know, whether it's this year, whether it's next year, whatever it may be, we're just trying to really set this program up for success. And I think, you know, if you've been watching, whoever may be watching, I think you got to love where Gopher basketball is headed because, you know, I'm loving it, and I'll definitely be a Gopher for life, and I'm just excited to see this program grow.
It's been fun watching, man.
Thank you, Graham. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Parker Fox. It's episode 111.
My thanks to Gopher Energizer Bunny Parker Fox for being my guest on this week's Go Gopher podcast. I hope you enjoyed hearing from him as much as I enjoyed chatting with him. Always great to have Parker on the Go Gopher podcast. Episode 111 was presented by Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're buying or selling a business, visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com. We're also partnered with Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, a locally member-owned full-service financial invested in you. You can learn more at affinityplus.org/gogophers. affinityplus.org/gogophers. Again, I'd invite you to listen to past podcasts, and right now, please click the subscribe button to the Go Gopher podcast. It's free to subscribe and free to listen at any time. And please share the link to the podcast with others, so they can subscribe and listen as well. We'll talk again next week.